It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
Socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water. What it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapped down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths or misconceptions, and it is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Let's just go on the record. They talked about 40 Democrats. 21 of those were people that I spent $100 million to help elect. All of the new Democrats that came in and put Nancy Pelosi in charge and gave the Congress the ability to control this president, I got them.
Oh, hey, welcome to the show. This is Kim Munson. That was Michael Bloomberg last night at the Democrat presidential debates. He caught himself. He said, I bought that. Hey, you know what? If something is a good idea, you shouldn't have to buy it. You shouldn't have to force it. You should be able to persuade in the battle of ideas. And that was a Freudian slip. Welcome to the show.
That's got to be the Freudian slip of this century so far. And I'm forecasting probably the most played soundbite across the nation today.
You know what? When you hear stuff like that, you think, Michael Bloomberg is trying to play us for chumps. And he wants to play out here in this Jefferson County DA race as well. Last time around, 4 years ago, he spent over $1 million. He tried to buy, I think it was 12 different DA races. I think he bought 10 of them. But that was a Freudian slip. Welcome to the show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website, kimmunson.com. That's spelled M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well.
You know, the most interesting thing about that little slip up there is that he's constantly defending. I mean, all the other, how many other were on the stage last night? Six of them are ready to jump down his throat at a moment's notice about his impact to this process because of his finances and that he's buying his way into it. And then he comes out and says something like that.
Yeah, I think that we're going to probably hear that. You heard it first this morning here, but I think you're going to hear that a lot. So we look at these issues on this show as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Ultimately, we like freedom for ourselves. Many times that we can be sold that we like force on other people, but we have to make the case for freedom. And actually, America was founded on liberty, which is the responsible exercise of freedom. For every freedom, there is a corresponding duty or responsibility. So we look at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And we want to persuade in the battle of ideas instead of using force, because ultimately socialism comes down to force. We see socialism in many narratives now throughout the country, with Bernie Sanders actually leading the Democrat field. He is a Marxist. He is a socialist. And so today in segments 3 and 4, I'll be talking with many of my colleagues from Liberty Toastmasters about capitalism. Why is capitalism good? We've heard the word crony capitalism. Those two words do not belong together, because cronyism is when people on both sides of the aisle use government to their advantage. Capitalism is the free exchange of services and ideas, and there's a dollar value on that, so that the value that is put on that is the exchange, and typically that's done through a monetary exchange. But it's putting value on services and goods. And so I can't wait. We'll be talking with six of my fellow colleagues from Liberty Toastmasters about that. In the second segment, Juliana Day. Many of you know her. We've had her on the show before. She has really become a one-woman show to get on the ballot this November, due date too late. Many of you may not realize that we actually can do late-term abortions here in Colorado. And as we have learned more and more about this issue, we realize that the baby, when the baby is being aborted, can feel pain. I mean, that is so cruel. And we have to take a stand that we no longer do late-term abortions here in Colorado. And then the other thing is we need to get the government money out of that business. Planned Parenthood typically has received almost $500 million each year. And they say that it's for family planning. Well, you know what? When you're aborting children, that's not really creating a family. And so we need to get the government money out of that particular business. So we'll talk with Juliana Day in segments, in the second segment on that. But Steve, since we were going to be talking about capitalism, I thought, you know, let's have a quote from Henry Hazlitt. And it's kind of a long quote, but it's an important one. He was an American journalist who wrote about business and economics for such publications as the Wall Street Journal, The Nation, The American Mercury, Newsweek, and The New York Times. He's widely cited in both libertarian and conservative circles. He was born in 1894 and he died in 1993. Okay, here we go. Henry Hazlitt. He said, "The whole gospel of Karl Marx can be summed up in a single sentence. Hate the man who is better off than you are. Never under any circumstances admit that his success may be due to his own efforts, to the productive contribution he has made to the whole community. Always attribute his success to exploitation, the cheating, the more or less open robbery of others. Never under any circumstances admit that your own failure may be owing to your own weakness, or that the failure of anyone else may be due to his own defects, his laziness, incompetence, improvidence, or stupidity."
Wow.
That's amazing, isn't it?
He just knocks me over there, because whenever he made that statement, you know, here we are today and it's in full force.
It is totally in full force. And so, you know, these ideas continue to come back, and that's why we have to engage in the battle of ideas. That's why we do this show, is to help you get your brain around these issues so that you can converse with your friends, your family, your colleagues. And, you know, our kids, many of our kids are coming home from school, K through 12, as well as college and universities, and they are being taught these Marxist ideas. And we've been quiet too long. We need to push back on that. This whole socialism is something that is born out of envy, and nothing good ever comes out of envy.
I wonder if Bernie Sanders knows Henry Stuart Hazlitt.
I don't think he's probably, maybe he read them when he was down in Cuba with Castro or something.
Oh, yeah, during his reading program.
During his reading program, yes, right. Yeah, I'm sure that's one of the things that they were reading. So, okay, our funnies, it's a little long, but again, I thought this was very apropos. Are you ready, Steve?
Oh, yes.
And in kind of the capitalism manufacturing theme. So as a manufacturing plant was in full swing one day, the company's massive machine was humming along, taking in the raw materials at one end and churning out the finished product at the other. All of a sudden, the machine stopped and ground to a halt. Workers climbed all over it like ants to get it started again. The plant's manager stormed out of his office to find out why his multi-million dollar machine wasn't making him any money. He listened to his people saying they couldn't figure it out, and he told them to call a technician. Well, soon the tech arrived, and the manager frantically explained to him that he needed his machine back as soon as possible. So the technician listened patiently, took one look at the massive hulk of motionless metal, and immediately walked over to a small panel, opening a tiny door inside to see a screw. The technician took a screwdriver and turned the screw one quarter turn to the right, and the machine suddenly came back to life as if nothing was wrong. The manager hurried over to thank the technician, shook his hand, and asked what he owed him for saving his company. The technician answered, $100,000. The manager looked at him and he said, "But you have been here less than 2 minutes and just turned one screw. How can you charge me so much? Give me an itemized bill." So the technician calmly wrote out on a piece of paper, "Turning of one screw, $1. Knowing which screw to turn, $99,999.
Excellent. We're not talking about it right now, but that's an excellent segue into this free college stuff that they're spreading around. How many students, past students, are saddled with huge debt, with worthless degrees, and here's the technician who knows which screw to turn, $99,000.
Yes. Yeah. Good point. Okay, let's jump in here. A couple of things before we get to Juliana Day in the second segment. Colorado, it's just unbelievable to me that, first of all, Juliana Day has to organize this team. I mean, she's doing this very grassroots to get over 100,000 signatures to get this question on the ballot on whether or not we should abort late-term pregnancies here in Colorado. But yet, and that is something that could be referred by the legislature to the ballot. And unfortunately, there was something that was passed in Colorado a few years ago. It's called Raise the Bar, which makes it more difficult for individuals to get something on the ballot. But the legislature could refer things. But Juliana is working so hard to make this happen, and we're in the kind of the home stretch on that. So over here, this legislature, the state seems to be fine with aborting late-term babies. But guess what? We have Senate Bill 2164. It's the treatment of dogs and cats in shelters and rescues. It says the bill establishes a standard of care that each animal shelter and pet animal rescue must provide each dog and cat in custody. It requires that animal shelters and pet animal rescues adopt out, return to the owner, or transfer to another shelter or rescue all cats and dogs that, one, exhibit no signs of illness or injury, two, demonstrate a willingness to interact socially with humans, and three, have not exhibited behavior that is likely to result in bodily injury or death to another animal or human being. Okay, can you believe that we are putting that into law possibly here in Colorado? But yet, we do late-term abortion, Steve. I mean, it doesn't match up to me. You know, it's so interesting. People that love children typically love animals as well. But not all people that love animals love children. Have you ever noticed that, Producer Steve?
Yeah, that little point has been made many times, and it really sets your mind to thinking.
Right. Okay, now one other thing that happened, Patty had pulled this, which was important, and this was at the national level. There were two abortion-restricting bills, one aimed at restricting late-term abortions and the other providing care for survivors of the procedure. Both of those failed to pass the Senate on Tuesday, February 25th. The first bill was the Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act. It was sponsored by Senator Lindsey Graham. It would prohibit doctors from performing an abortion after 20 weeks, the point at which, according to a review study published in the Maternal Medical Journal, says that fetuses can feel pain. Steve, did you know this? The United States is currently one of seven countries in the world that permit elective abortion after 20 weeks. We think we are civilized, and we're not so much, and so we have got to get our brains around this issue.
Well, it's a dumbing down effect to a degree. I watched a piece last night. The good guys were walking around on the fringes of a college campus. They had pictures, ultrasounds of the different trimesters, and asking students who were just milling around or sitting out in commons areas about what their thoughts were in terms of this process versus the different trimesters. And just, you know, they get their opinion, they show them the pictures in trimester one or the other, and see if it changed their thoughts at all. Now, some of it did, some it did not. And what caught me the most was the tripe that was coming out of their mouths in terms of buying into the lies of the last 25 years.
And that's why we have to engage in this battle. And good for Juliana Day for getting this on the ballot. So before we go to break, though, a couple of things. I always like to say thank you to our team, to Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie for your good work. And to each of you listeners, you're treasured, you're valued, you have a purpose. Go out today, strive for excellence, take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. And also, I can't wait. March Madness is right around the corner, Rock Chalk Jayhawk. And the place to watch all the games is Hooters Restaurants. They have plenty of TVs, so you won't miss any of the action. Wednesdays are Dine-In Wing Day, all the wings you can eat for $15.99. They've got these great new roasted wings. I love the boneless wings. Tonight, the girls are coming over, and I'm going to have Hooters wings delivered right to the front door. For more information, go to my website, kimmunson.com. That's M-O-N-S-O-N.com. We're going to go to break, and then we will be talking with a real hero, and that is Juliana Day, regarding due date too late. We'll be right back.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine has 30 years of experience with RE/MAX Alliance. As a director with the National Association of Realtors, Karen Levine works to protect private property rights. Karen Levine believes in home ownership. Because of Karen's love of dogs, Karen volunteers with GRR, Golden Retriever Rescue of the Rockies, helping golden retrievers find their forever homes. Choose Karen Levine to buy or sell your home because she understands that it's more than just a house. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com. On the line with me is a friend, Juliana Day, and she is truly a hero. She has taken upon herself to go to work to get a question on this November's ballot about late-term abortions. And Juliana Day, I don't think you're sleeping these days. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Kim. Thank you so much for the invitation. I'm always so happy when I'm on your show. And just good morning to all your listeners.
Well, explain to our listeners what is going on right now with this particular petition process, what it says, and why you started that. So why did you take it upon yourself? Because, Juliana, I know that you are have driven all over the state. You've slept in your car, all kinds of things, because you think this is so important. Explain to our listeners why.
Yeah, this is something that is very, very close to my heart. It's an important issue that it's just critical for us to discuss and not to see it like a taboo, because I don't know if all your listeners are aware, but Colorado is one of the most extreme states in the United States, because we accept abortions until the moment of birth. So when I found out about this situation, I said, you know, there is a possibility to have an initiative. So I said, okay, I can sponsor it. So from that moment, it's been around the clock pretty much. Mm-hmm. It's not just me. There's been this is a grassroots movement, and there's been the effort of so many volunteers. It has changed my life in that sense, just interacting directly with the community, hear the testimonies from so many women that have been affected by an abortion. And sometimes we just talk about, yeah, abortion is good or bad, or we can start engaging in this discussion. But behind that, there is a lot of suffering. There is a lot of pain. And it's important for us just to see those faces, those babies who are suffering, those future mothers too, that sometimes just pressured by their neighbors, by their relatives, their boyfriends, and they get into an abortion. And abortion providers like Planned Parenthood, and they, with deception, they tell the women, you know, it's just 10 minutes, it's just a bunch of tissues, nothing is going to happen, when the reality is completely different. Now, about the initiative, this is late-term abortion. It's when a baby feels pain, when a baby is already viable. So many people, pro-choice women and men, already signed the petition because they feel that this is too extreme and too violent.
Well, it really is. And Juliana, you have really come at this issue without judgment, but yet, I mean, with compassion. And as you've mentioned, you've looked into the eyes of many women who hurt because of that decision that was made a long time ago or recently. I mean, it's so final. And I think there's guilt, there's regret, there's hurt. And you look at this as with compassion instead of judgment.
Yeah, one of the things that I've been trying to emphasize is love, compassion, and no judgment. Because we need to start that process of healing, especially for those women. I've been just playing around the idea along with another woman that I met recently to have this kind of ministry too for women. There's hunger for having this process of just healing their hearts, and that these women are going through so much pain. I held in my arms many times, and I cry with those women when they regret having an abortion. And they always think in terms like, yeah, someday I'm going to see my baby in heaven, or they celebrate the birthday of their baby when yeah, they keep in mind that it's always in their heart. So, and besides, when we're talking about late-term abortion, that is specifically that Initiative 120, late-term abortion poses a substantial risk to the mother.
Yes.
And, because it's a procedure that lasts between 3 to 4 days. So the mother suffers a great deal and is forced just to carry the stillbirth baby in her womb for days. And sometimes if it doesn't happen in the abortion clinic, she delivers the baby, her daughter or her son, in a toilet. So go ahead.
Well, and I actually know that sometimes that can cause infertility down the road. As well. So, there are risks into the future as well. And I think a lot of women are being told lies about this. I also wanted to mention, we're talking about the mothers, but there's also pain for fathers as well. As they look back and have realized that their child's been aborted. It's not just mothers, it's also fathers. But of course, the mother's carrying the baby. But it's both, right, Juliana?
Yes. I've heard a few testimonies from men, too. And they don't want to speak up, for sure, because they feel that society is not going to tolerate that. Because they spent 4 years, that's been the message, and they have no voice, too. But I remember having listening to the testimony of this man. He was already an older man in his 60s. And, he told me, I made a mistake. I impregnated my girl when I was younger. But I found out that she was having twins. I really wanted to keep the babies, but she aborted them. So that scarred my life forever. He never got married. And so it was very difficult for him to deal with an issue like that. So this is affecting women, babies, men, society in general. So this initiative is giving the opportunity for everybody to come together and discuss these issues. For women, just not to see that, it's a lot of stigma and shame. That's the reason why they don't want to talk about these issues. But it would be very important for them and encourage women that went through an abortion and they regret having done so. Please just speak up. Tell other women that it's very difficult and that they are terrible consequences, especially when it comes to late-term abortion. We're talking about psychological pain, emotional pain, and physical pain. Many times they are consequences like possibility of having perforation of the cervix, hemorrhage, infertility, and even death of the mother. So it's going to be very important to provide alternatives to women. When I've been talking about this issue with the public, they always ask me, what are the alternatives? And there are many. I found out there are many. From the moment that a woman is pregnant all the way till the moment the woman is delivering the baby, there are different organizations that provide help. And that's going to be one of my tasks, too. I want to be able to compile a list of the different organizations that can provide help for women, because that is going to be also critical, not just when a woman, and especially when they're young girls, they get pregnant. Many times the first group that just gets a hold of them is just Planned Parenthood.
Right.
Say, everything is just going to be so easy and get rid of the problem.
Yeah.
But the reality is that it's the other way around, right?
Right. And there's no support for that girl after she's made that decision if through Planned Parenthood. A couple of other things. We're just about out of time. So, Juliana Day, we are getting near the end of getting these petitions signed. So what's that look like and where can people sign the petitions?
Oh, yeah. Hands on deck now. Today is Ash Wednesday. So I encourage people, and if you can talk to your pastor and gather signatures at Catholic churches, that would be great. There's an entire mobilization today. There's a lot of volunteers. Like I said, just join the movement. This is a movement. It's going to be unbelievable. This is just the beginning. So try to gather signatures that we are hoping to get all the petition packets back by Saturday.
Okay.
Saturday morning. We prefer Friday night, but by Saturday morning, we want all those petitions packets back. Please, if for any reason you have a problem or you cannot mail the petitions or whatever it is you want, you have a question, please call me. Feel okay. free to call me, to text me. My cell phone number is 720-899-0897. I'm going to be available all day from this point
Okay.
720-899-0897. We will make arrangements to get those packets back, mail them as soon as possible, or call me, please.
Okay. And you can go to duedatetoolate.com, and there is signing events. There's different places that you can go to sign that petition. Juliana Day, you are truly a hero. Thank you so much. And again, that's duedatetoolate.com, duedatetoolate.com. Or, Juliana, one more time, your phone number?
720-899-0897. There are still places where you can sign the petition, or just a half a group of people, get together with your family, relatives, friends, and call me. If you guys want to put an event, and just I will bring the petition packets.
I know you will.
Have everybody sign.
I know you will. Hey, Juliana Day, you are a hero. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I love you, Tim.
Okay. I love Bye-bye. You too, Juliana. So, okay, Jason McBride, how are you doing this morning? Presidential Wealth Management.
Well, I'm good, and I love you guys too.
I know. I know. Juliana is truly a hero, isn't she, Jason?
She's a great gal.
Yeah, she is.
A hard worker.
She has not been sleeping. She has been working so hard on this. So, hey, what did the futures look like today? It was brutal again yesterday.
Yeah, well, yesterday the futures were slightly positive. That didn't help us by the end of the day. And this morning, Kim, they're slightly positive again. You know, when we see kind of a nasty sell-off like this starting, it very seldom stops right at the beginning of a day. Most of the time it's in the middle of a day where the market's way down. You get panic, you get capitulation, and then it finds its footing and starts to rally. So, again, very hard to predict what comes next. You know, we're down 3% 2 days in a row. We may find a little bit of support on the S&P at 3,050 or so. That's where the 200-day moving average is, Kim. But what I would say is you have to be careful about relative deprivation. You remember I talked about that about 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Relative deprivation. Tell me again, Jason.
Well, that's where, you know, now you're looking at the market. It's down off the highs. It's not down that much. I mean, it's down 6 or 7%.
Right.
And you start saying to yourself, oh, darn, I knew it was too high. I was going to sell. If it just gets back up to where it was, I'm going to sell. And, you know, you can say that to yourself all the way down if this is, you know, a major correction that starts all the way down until you can't take it anymore and end up selling out at the bottom. So what I would say, Kim, is, again, it's hard to predict when a large correction is coming. But just remember, every big correction starts out as a small one. So I would say for those people that in their head they think, I want to try and avoid the big drop, you know, don't wait until it gets so ugly that you're selling out of panic, and don't tell yourself that you're such a perfect investor that you should have sold exactly at the top. If your plan is to try to get out and you think the market's too high, all I'm saying is if you get out somewhere, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10% from the absolute top, you did
pretty darn good. Yeah, that's not bad. That is why during these times, it's even more valuable to sit down with you and your colleagues at Presidential Wealth Management to do a discovery session. And I would highly recommend that people give you a call, 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. 694-1600, or you can reach out via airpresidential.com or my website. But sit down. It doesn't cost anything. And as we're kind of looking at what's going on in the future, sit down with Jason and his colleagues so that you can sleep better at night. I think that would be a good idea, Jason.
I think sleeping better at night is a good reason to get a second set of eyes on what you're doing. If for nothing else, you know, we might say you look pretty okay and you don't need to change anything, and then that can help you feel better too.
That's for sure. So give Jason a call at 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. Jason, we'll talk to you tomorrow morning.
Have a great show, Kim.
Thanks so much. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be chatting with many of my colleagues from Liberty Toastmasters about why is capitalism good. We'll be right back.
A reverse mortgage can be an important financial tool for individuals 62 and older. It is essential to understand the process so that all of your questions are answered. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy, Polygon Financial Group, has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren knows that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage or with rates down, explore options to remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Check out my website, kimmunson.com. That's MONSON.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. On the line with me is my good friend, Christy Whaley, one of my fellow Liberty Toastmasters. Good morning, Christy.
Good morning, Kim. I love this topic.
The topic is, why is capitalism good, Christy Whaley?
You know, I've always known it in my gut, and partly because of my upbringing and history, but as you know, Kim, I read an article both in Toastmasters and on your show a couple of times calling Giving Thanks for the Invisible Hand. And this really describes so beautifully how products come to market. And it truly is a miraculous thing. And this particular article talked about how a turkey comes to market. And it's almost breathtaking when you think about it. And there's no turkey czar that sat somewhere trying to figure out how we're going to get these turkeys to market so people can buy them on Thanksgiving. And then, capitalism, our free market system has cured or has, we've benefited from it from headaches to matchmaking. I mean, if you want your soulmate, now you've got eHarmony. You've got Match.com you can go to. I mean, it has helped cure racism. It's there's a woman, do you know who the first female millionaire was, Kim? I think I might have asked you this.
I think you did, but I can't remember who.
Yes, her name was C.J. Walker, and I said the first female millionaire. I didn't say the first black female millionaire. She was the first female millionaire, and she was black, and she was born shortly after the end of slavery. Her parents were slaves, her siblings were slaves, and yet by 1900 or thereabouts, she had developed a hair care line for black people and was the first self-made millionaire in America. To me, this is just a wonderful thing. And, there's so much. I had some other things I wanted to say, but I'm all over the place, I feel like.
That's what happens in table topics. We have so many different thoughts on that. But I think your point, Christy, is that this trading of goods and services, if you come up with a good or goods or services that other people will freely exchange their hard-earned dollars for, and a lot of people do that, then you can become very wealthy, and there's nothing wrong with that, Christy Whaley.
Oh, heavens, no. I mean, the first cell phones, Kim, were about $5,000. That's pretty expensive for most people. And now,
and you carried him in a briefcase.
Pardon me?
You carried him in a briefcase.
Yes. And the things that, like Henry Ford, I gave a speech on Henry Ford one time, how he created the automobile for the masses. And that was his intent. And he did it. You know, at first it was just C.J. Walker millionaire. She was one of the first to drive the cars, but then they were available for the masses. And now what would we do without our cars and our cell phones?
Oh, you got it. So Christy Whaley, thank you so much. I love this topic as well. Why is capitalism good? So thank you so much. We're going to jump over here to Terry Goon, another one of my colleagues in Liberty Toastmasters. She's a member of Liberty Toastmasters North. Terry, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much. I love what Christy was saying. That was great.
Well, what's your comments on why is capitalism good?
Well, I've got capitalism. It's basically, you know, in the big picture, it's the epitome of both freedom and civilization. Freedom in that each person decides in a capitalist system what values they hold individually and how that translates to exchanging things. To me, I may value jewelry. Well, you may value vacations or your kids' college education. Either way, we get to choose what's most important to us and then use our money in exchange for the things that we value. You can look at it in terms of quality, too, as there's more competition for the dollars in a capitalist society. You get more variety, both in terms of style and quality, because of people freely choosing which of the two on the scale is more important to them. You know, really expensive jewelry, just one or two pieces, or a lot of cheaper stuff with a lot more variety. Capitalism is also the epitome of civilization by being the means to getting along and working together to achieve what's most important, what we value. It might be trading wheat for dollars for cars in a global system, or closer up, it might be trading babysitting for dollars for groceries. So by allowing this type of exchange, people in general avoid theft or conquering each other in order to get what we want or what we value. Instead, it's just an exchange for money. That's what makes it good.
That is absolutely fascinating. Always great nuggets when we do this Liberty Toastmasters Day. And the free exchange of value, you know, one of the things I talk about on the show is freedom versus force, force versus freedom, and that it's never compassionate to take other people's stuff. You mentioned via theft, you know, and they used to come in via weapons and take people's stuff. But in a government that's not limited, you can see policy and excessive and unpredictable taxation that's taking other people's stuff. That's why that's not a good idea. Capitalism is the thing that enhances people's lives. Terry, your final thought.
Go capitalism. I can't even believe people are even thinking about supporting a socialist. That's insane.
It's Terry, I never dreamed we'd be in a place like this, but that's why we've got to engage in the battle of ideas. And Liberty Toastmasters North meets the second and fourth Saturdays up in Longmont. And you're a member up there, Terry Goon. Thank you so much.
Thank you for the chance.
You bet. Now we're going to jump over to one of my colleagues down at Liberty Toastmasters Denver, which we meet the first and third Saturdays. Guests are welcome. You can go to Toastmasters.org, put in Liberty Toastmasters. You can find us. And that is Roger Edwards. Roger, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim.
Okay, the question on the table is, why is capitalism good, Roger Edwards?
Well, I'm going to answer a different question, if you don't mind.
And you can do that.
How are we going to live the benefits of freedom and liberty if we allow ourselves to be constantly manipulated by fear? I'm looking, for example, at this coronavirus. And as of this morning, there's about 2,800 people who have died from this throughout the world. That's not Denver. It's throughout the world, 2,800 people. 98% of the people survive this virus, but yet we have the media out there every day portraying it as being Armageddon and the last hope of humanity is to conquer this virus. And it's manipulating people. It manipulates their emotions. It's manipulating the economics out there. And we, at some point, we have to stop and look at the perspective on how this information comes to us. So if 90%, 98% of the people survive, I don't see it as a big issue. Probably the ones who don't survive are those ones with compromised immunity systems and the elderly and those people who have other medical issues going on. There's also a blurb that last night on the news that we were going to need 300 million masks for the healthcare industry. Well, there's only 365 million people in the United States, and only 6% of those will probably work in the healthcare industry. We have to somehow be able to filter these terrifying things that the media puts out to give us a perspective to where we can live without fear in the society that we're in today.
You know, Roger, that is such an excellent point. Fear, you know, it's the, I mean, it's just prevalent. But I just wanted to mention something. You said that at this particular point in time, 2,800 people worldwide have died from the coronavirus, and each life is treasured and valued. But I had Juliana Day on, you know, the previous segment regarding this due date, too late bill that, or not bill, question on the ballot for in November. She's trying to get it on the ballot. She needs over 100,000 signatures. But while you were mentioning 2,800 and the mainstream media is going crazy, I just Googled how many abortions happen in the world each year. Would you like to even guess, Roger?
I have no idea.
Okay, this is according to the World Health Organization. Every year in the world, there are an estimated 40 to 50 million abortions. This corresponds to approximately 125,000 abortions per day. In the U.S., they estimate that we have 3,000 abortions per day. So here we've got everybody going crazy, the market going down because of the coronavirus, but yet we are aborting a whole generation. It doesn't make sense to me. Roger, your final thought.
Well, it's not unusual, or it's to be expected in the media today is to generate clicks and views on different things throughout the social media and internet. It's just hyping fear, and we should just sit back and use our minds that God has given us to say, this isn't really the big deal we thought it was.
Okay. Well, Roger Edwards, I greatly appreciate that. This is why Table Topics is so much fun, is because you never know what the conversation, it's actually not a conversation at Liberty Toastmasters, but we make it a conversation here. Roger Edwards, thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. We're going to go to break. When we come back, Carol Baker, another one of my colleagues of Liberty Toastmasters Denver, is on the line. We'll find out what she has to say about why is capitalism good. We'll be right back.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
You want to succeed, so you need to dress for the job, event, or relationship that you seek. For more than 30 years, entrepreneur and stylist Kim Munson has been helping women look their very best. And guys, Kim can help you with made-to-measure shirts that fit great and you'll love to wear. Guys and gals, if you want to up your game, freshen your look, email kim@kimmunson.com for your initial style consult. Kim at kimmunson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson, and be sure and check out my website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And on the line with me is Carol Baker, one of my colleagues from Liberty Toastmasters Denver. Carol Baker, welcome to the show.
Well, good morning, Kim. Good to see you. Good to talk to you.
Well, good to talk with you as well. And the question on the table, Carol, is why is capitalism good? We've got all these the socialist stuff, conversations going on. We've got an avowed communist that's leading the Democrat presidential candidates right now. Why is capitalism good?
Well, today I think I'd like to focus on the opportunities we have with large corporations. So many times we, in the political debates, we talk about the values of small businesses. But I think of large corporations as offering opportunities for us to aspire to do something we want to do. We feel like we have a gift, a talent for. People around us have been telling us, oh, you could be a scientist, you could be a whatever, and here's your chance to do it. When there's a large corporation that needs people of different talents and different team members to go together, corporations, without being told by anybody else how to do something, they know how to assemble the best team to get the best product. They serve a community. When you have a large corporation where a lot, many people in the community work there, you get some community spirit. You get some, almost like a team spirit with some friendly competition, with other maybe companies around or whatever. The company picnics and the company Christmas parties, you know, there are people who can work a whole generation or more in a family there. But there's jobs that, you know, maybe, for instance, a scientist, a biochemist can't just open up his shop on a corner and become a biochemist. Many times they need a bigger organization to be part of. And when you can attract somebody with those big talents, those big skills, and their family went, you know, encouraged them to pursue that, then somebody had something to work toward and keep working toward something. And they can encourage the next person, look, you can benefit from going to school and studying and getting good at what you're good at. That's where I see the benefit.
Okay, so just a quick question, because I think that that has been the narrative that has encouraged kids to go to college and incur debt to go to college. But that narrative, I think, Carol, has gotten a little skewed because kids have gone to college and have not looked at how are they going to pay off that debt. You know, what's the return on their investment? Just your quick thought on that, Carol.
Well, it doesn't just have to be kids. Because in a free market like this, you can be any age and decide you're going to go pursue something like this. Many times, this is advanced degrees. And it's not just advanced degrees. Sometimes you need the best administrative assistants to keep a department running. Sometimes you need the best building maintenance people to keep that company going. But when somebody has a talent and the family says, oh, you've got it going on, go do this. There's a company you can go work for and you can be proud of yourself and we can be proud. If they're pursuing it for the right reasons, yeah, we don't need one community doesn't need so many of them going to school to fill one spot.
Okay.
Be wise about that.
Okay. Carol Baker, thank you. That's a totally different take than I thought about on that. So thank you so much, and I'll see you very soon.
That's what we do at Toastmasters. We all get different takes.
You got it. So thanks, Carol. On the line is another one of my colleagues, and that is Bruce Porter. And Bruce, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim.
And the question on the table is, why is capitalism good?
Well, capitalism is good because it represents freedom, freedom of choice, freedom to prosper, freedom to direct your own life and your energies. I just finished a book by Thomas Sowell on Marx and Frederick Engels, and I was really struck by the fact that their entire idea was to control the means of production and therefore control people down to the smallest detail of their lives. And, of course, everywhere that socialism or/communism has ever been tried, we've seen nothing but poverty, we've seen nothing but misery, people trying to escape the borders of their country to get away from it. And I asked somebody the other day, I said, did you see that big, long line of North Americans trying to form caravans to get to Venezuela as quickly as possible? Of course, no one has.
You know, to that point, Bruce, I heard somebody say recently, why is it that we have people of all different colors? That if America is such a racist country, why do we have people of so many different ethnicities trying to get into this country? So anyway, continue on, Bruce.
Well, that's really the point, isn't it? I mean, no one's drowning in the waters off of Cuba trying to get into Cuba. It's all off the coast of Florida. People are desperately trying to enjoy freedom, to raise their family according to their faith and according to their abilities, because everybody doesn't have the same ability to produce wealth, but everyone should have the ability to exercise the gift that they have. And, you know, the capitalist system is so beautiful, so demonstrably able to produce more goods and more services and bring greater benefits to the maximum number of people than anyone in socialist communist countries have ever seen. I spoke once to a man who came from China and immigrated to America, and he said that one of the things that astounded him when he was on the aircraft coming over the ocean to America, the stewardess asked him, "What would you like to drink?" And he was expecting either coffee or water. And he said, "What do you have?" And she gave him a long list of the different soft drinks and things that he could order. And he was shocked. He couldn't believe that there were so many choices that he could have. And I think that really demonstrates, you know, the beauty of a system where everyone can produce something that will benefit others and be benefited by the act of producing it.
Well, Bruce Porter, very well said. Thank you so much. And what's that book by Thomas Sowell?
It's called Marx, just simply Marx.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Bruce. We will see you soon. And on the line with me is Bradley Beck. Hey, Brad, you are one of the co-founders of Liberty Toastmasters. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing unbelievable, Kim. Good to hear your voice this morning. Great show.
Well, thank you. And the question on the table is, so why is capitalism good?
Well, basically because socialism sucks. I am reading a book by that title where two economists drink their way through the unfree world. I saw Robert Lawson this last weekend at the leadership program of the Rockies Retreat and purchased his book. And it's the story of two economists who go through the unfree world, through various places, and prove that socialism, because of the way it's the use of production, the ownership of production, and the lack of rule of law, has terrible ability to serve its customers. And they use alcohol as a perfect example. You can go to a place like Sweden, which is not socialist. It is capitalist, has been capitalist. They have some market processes that have been bigger through the welfare state and over the years have come back to capitalism, but they're heavily taxed. And yet you can go to a place like Venezuela where you can't even get beer because they don't even plan correctly and can't even keep their breweries open. And so Venezuela is dry now. They have no beer. And this is one of the things that proves that capitalism is the best system out there. It frees more people. It gives more people the ability to pursue their happiness, to have human flourishing. I'm here in Southern California. I flew in yesterday on business. And the amount of growth still happening, as much as we despise the public policies of the left coast, there's buildings going up. There are people who are going to work, shopping. The roads are full. There is a prosperity, even in places like California, as many people are leaving. Capitalism still is rearing its great ability to pull people up and to trade value for value. And so anytime somebody, like last night, I watched a little bit of the debate so you didn't have to, it's, watching those people on stage just proves their inability to understand basic economics. And if I might, I'll end with one little quote by the great man who we know as Marx, Groucho Marx.
Said, you scared me.
Politics is the art of looking for trouble, finding it everywhere, diagnosing it incorrectly, and applying the wrong remedies. Oh. And that's what the left has done.
Well, that's for sure. But that way they can maintain their power in doing so. Brad Beck, you're a co-founder of Liberty Toastmasters, and the Liberty Toastmasters Denver meets the first and third Saturdays of each month. Although, are we meeting this Saturday? Or let's see. That first one, that's the caucuses. So are we meeting that day?
Correct. No, we are meeting on Monday instead, March 2nd, at the Independence Institute at 6 p.m., because many of our members will be at caucus. So we decided to move it to that Monday evening. But normally we do meet the first and third Saturday of the month at 10 a.m. over at the Independence Institute in Denver. And we welcome all. It is a fun place to practice these types of activities, which is speaking extemporaneously.
Yes, and then the Liberty Toastmasters North meets the second and fourth Saturdays of each month in Longmont. And to my friends, we need to engage in the battle of ideas, and words are so powerful. Ronald Reagan brought down the Berlin Wall with words. He said, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. And that is why it is so important to be able to communicate. So we would highly recommend that you join us. Guests are welcome at Liberty Toastmasters. How can people get more information, Brad?
Well, then go to our website, either Liberty Toastmasters Denver or Liberty Toastmasters North. All the information's there. And we'd love to have any guests, and people who are already Toastmasters can come visit us and just see what we offer. We're a themed club rather than a traditional club, and we theme it around the ideas of individual rights, the proper role of a limited government, and how to be active and engaged citizens all through our founding documents.
Well, Brad Beck, thank you so much. We will see you very soon.
Thank you.
Okay. And our quote for today is from Henry Hazlitt. And be sure and get his book, Economics in One Lesson. It's short. It's an easy read. He says, the only real cure for poverty is production. So today, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.